very good afternoon.
Yeah.
It is my privilege to be here this afternoon. In fact, I rushed from Galilee. They're having the AGM this morning. So it is very opportune that I am here this morning. I'm just going to start with a passage of scripture found in Acts chapter 10, starting from verse 34. And it reads, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth God and works righteousness is accepted with God.' And the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things that he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom the Jews slew and hung on the tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with Jesus after he rose from the dead. And the Lord Jesus commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, and that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." When your pastor asked me to come last week, and I did so, and then I had a shock because my wife was very upset. So that's why I'm here today. And last week happened to be my 50th birthday, half a century, and they had thrown a surprise for me, which of course is a surprise because I knew nothing of it. So the Lord wants me to be here this morning to share a bit of my background, testimony, how we came to know the Lord, how I came to know the Lord, how I went to the mission field with my wife, and so on. All right? So without further ado, let's just start with that. I'm a fourth-generation believer. My great-grandfather came from Swatow in the late 1800s, 1885 to be exact, to Singapore. Great-grandfather was an elder in Bethel Presbyterian. My grandfather was an elder in Life Church. My father is currently or is the pastor of Galilee BP Church, and I am a missionary sent out by Galilee BP Church. And I have been on the mission field together with my wife, and then my three children were born there. Okay, we left in October 2000. Now, how did we become Christians? Well, that's a very long story, but for myself, I was told that I received Christ at 5. Do I remember? No. Okay? But between the time of 5 and when we were confirmed, I must have received Christ maybe 100 times. Okay? I honestly don't remember. Okay? But I do remember the day when I dedicated my life to the Lord. It was at the Singapore Christian Conference Center in Changi. The building is still there. Okay, it was a church camp in June, and I remember praying, "Lord, if I have never received you ever before in my life, I do so today. And if I have never dedicated my life to you, I do so." And there were some circumstances that had taken place. My parents were involved in a car accident. A big lorry was on top of their Morris Minor, a white Morris Minor, and they survived, you know. So that was an interesting year. That was the year of the, I believe it was the Singapore Council of Christian Churches conference at Calvary Pandan at Galilee. That was around that period. All right? So those were the early years. And then I grew up in Calvary and then Galilee Church. Okay? And being a pastor's son, you do have to live up to the glare of scrutiny. Okay? But to serve the Lord, that was my own choice, my own volition. And to go to the mission field actually was was an accident in a way. At that time, we were having certain crises at church, and I thought, well, let's do something different. So I joined a brother. He was interested in orphanage work. So we went to Chiang Mai, Thailand. And interestingly, he came back to Singapore, and the Lord began to lay on my heart Thailand. Now, I never really had a love for that country. I did have a relative who was married to a Thai, but that was it. So back then, in the mind of Singaporeans, Thailand is a cheap place for a holiday and a cheap place for people to do unspeakable things. But today, in Thailand, there are people that I love, that I care for, that we minister to, that came to the Lord through the ministry, and we have a church there called the Lighthouse BP Church. Okay? And I have transitioned into different areas of ministry. Okay? So that's kind of a nutshell how we went to the mission field. I was asked to say, you know, how did I meet my wife? I met my wife in youth work. We both were in charge of the youth fellowship at Galilee Church, and we worked very well together, and that's how we met, and that's how we fell in love and got married. This was August 1999. Now, the Lord called me to the mission field in May 1999. And if you are ready to get married, and if your fiancé comes and says, honey, I think God is calling me to the mission field, what would you, as a woman about to be getting married, what would you think? Okay, we didn't even tell her parents at this time. But at this point, I told her, I said, don't worry. If it is not God's will for you to come as well, then we won't go. All right? So the night, we were married August 14, 1999, and that night at the wedding dinner, in front of all the people, we announced, God willing, 1 year from now, we will be on the mission field in Thailand. Boom! Everybody heard at one shot. So it's been a big, exciting journey. The passage that I just read about the Apostle Peter, you know, he had no clue who he was meeting that day. He had no clue that he was going to be meeting Cornelius. He had no clue that this would be the beginning of a work in Caesarea. And that's kind of how I feel about the work in Thailand. It's been a miracle. It's been a journey. And I'm just going to share that with you this morning. Okay, so I'm just going to move. Last year, I gave a talk on missional business. I had never considered myself a business person, though I graduated from business school. Okay, in 1994, when I graduated from Bible school, I had put aside my business background and said, Lord, I'm serving you. I'd thrown all that behind. But here I am, you know, more than 20 years, 30 years later, dealing in the area of business. Okay, I was a professor or an English instructor in Paiyap University in Chiang Mai. I was there 14 years, and then we started an English club, and from the English club, we started a church called the Lighthouse Bible Presbyterian Church. And working with the Thai people are delightful people. Okay, and most of you will know that, oh, Thai will like to smile. And the Thai smile for many, many reasons. So you have to understand why they smile. So don't assume that when they smile at you, it is only just happy and smile. They are smiling, okay? So you have to find out. So these are some of the cultural differences. So we went into that culture and we brought the gospel. I was focusing on Thai students. The premise was, okay, VCF, the Interschool Christian Fellowship in Singapore, this generation of current leaders are the product of that era. And I thought, why not the same thing? You know, if God can work through the students, perhaps the next generation of leaders, they will rise up. So that was the idea behind the work there. We must understand that in Thailand, to be Thai means to be Buddhist, and to be Buddhist means to be Thai. So it's all linked together. When the Buddhist world was influenced by all the ideology, Satan did a very thorough job. Okay? So today, we say Thailand is the graveyard of missions, or Japan, or something like that. It's been said before. And do we give up? Does the Lord love the Thai any less? I hope not. I know He doesn't. So that's why God sent us. Okay? So there are many other missionaries serving in Thailand. All right, I'm just going to move on. One of the works that we do now is to bring the Word of God in the audio format. How many of you can read? How many of you can read? Just read. How many here have the skill of reading? Okay. You don't? You don't read the papers? You don't read your... Come on. I dare say there's nobody that is illiterate in this room. Am I correct? Everybody, we have 100% literacy right here, right? What about the world? How many percent of the world actually can read? If I have 10 fingers to represent the world, tell me how many fingers or the people can read. If 10 people represented the world, how many can actually read? 5? That's a very good guess. But it is only 3. Okay? Whenever you give a tract, okay, to someone, you are reaching only the 30%. All right? Therefore, that might give us a clue in how we need to address reaching the world. All right? This Thursday, I'm going to lead a group of 5 people from church, and we're going to have a vacation Bible school in Chiang Mai. But everything is fluid. We just had a meeting before I jumped into the car, and for 10 minutes, you know, everything is so fluid. The children that are supposed to come may or may not come because some parents, the dorm parents, are leaving and so on. But suffice it to say, real missions, very dirty. It's nice to present nice reports. We have X number of churches and Y number of people, but in reality, if I were to believe all the reports made throughout the world about Thailand, Thailand should have been saved twice over by now. Okay? If I believed all the numbers and added them all together, Thailand should have been saved twice. Okay? So we realize that we need to get to the heart. We need to get below. And what? How did the God of this world, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, how did He blind the people? And how can God open their eyes? And how can the gospel be sent? So we believe faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Okay, so we do the audio word of God. Okay, this is Lighthouse BP Church last year. We had our 10th anniversary of that group that is there. Let's see. Okay. We have had 100% turnover already. Okay. Being a university church means that students graduate and they move and they go to different provinces. So now we are starting all over again. Okay. So it's like version 2.0. All right. And this is the church building. This is the building. All right. And the little boys are my two sons. And this is the building today. Our current preacher is a farmer, so he's doing all sorts of farming in the front, which is excellent. Okay, we have a small aquaponics section, so it's kind of like a demonstration area for people that come. Okay, the company that I started over there was company called Bridgemaker, and as it says, imparting the word, impacting lives. So we import the word of God, the audio Bibles, and we reach the Mekong region, Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, and so on. Okay? In fact, just this past week on Zap Gor Mae, okay, that is the 15th of the new year, I received news from one of the countries. 60 of our Bibles had been impounded. Okay? Praise the Lord. You must understand, the missionary who had taken these audio Bibles in, if he goes back to retrieve them, he is at risk. All his networks may be exposed. If we send a local there, that local may not come back. Okay? So we may sit here in the comfort. And for me, and I was actually, we were having a Zap Gor Mae reunion dinner with a family, and I'm pondering, you know, it's difficult to send people into harm's way. Do we tell them, please go and get... And finally, this missionary, he called back and says, let me ask my network. Let me ask my daughter. And then he called back, and we were enjoying our meal. He says, they agreed I should go. And so they paid 65% tax to retrieve those players. So, beloved, sometimes a lot of things happen, and we are very comfortable here, but we know not what goes on behind. Just a few neighboring countries away, the price that people pay. I had a paradigm shift as I was doing missions. Now, I grew up in the Bible Presbyterian Church, and whether it's Baptist or Presbyterian, there's always been a very clear, distinct separation between what is called business and what is faith-related. And we always will go to the passage where Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple. And when we understand why the Lord Jesus did that and how the people were being exploited when they were supposed to worship God with their best, whether it's their firstborn lamb or so on. And you could just, out of convenience, buy. And I wonder what that tells us today. Now, the paradigm shift for me came was, I may teach theology, I may teach the Bible. And I can see you have, you know, three distinct teaching segments in your service on today. And what about Monday to Saturday? How do you live? Okay? And I realized that, what about things like, you know, honesty, creativity, hard work, industry, faithfulness? How do you teach that on Sunday but apply it on the other days? And that's where the business area was born. Because I realized that unless we connect these two, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, you know, whether we eat, we drink, we do all to God's glory. How do we live our lives to God's glory? Do we behave one way at church? You know, okay, I realize many here are home keepers, and, you know, how do we behave? As bosses, as employees, how do we behave? Does what we learn from the Word of God impact our life? Okay? So that became a paradigm shift for me. And that's why Bridgemaker was started. Here you see people receiving the Word of God. We were teaching people a trade, how to work. Okay? You'll see here automotive lubricants. Now, what does that have to do with the Bible, you may ask? A late Christian businessman bequeathed, this is his legacy. Okay? So he seeded a business to help the locals. Okay? It's been hard going. This is from the UK, by the way. All right? And very top-notch stuff. And the locals will think, you know, in Singapore, when do we do our car maintenance? Okay, we follow a schedule, right? over, and maybe in some of our countries, when do you go to the mechanic? When the car breaks down. Okay? We don't normally think that way locally. But that's life. Okay? Can you imagine the thought processes behind it? We take it for granted that maintenance is part of us. But those are values that actually do come from the Word of God. Yeah? So this was given, and we started the business. Okay? We sell, turmeric and moringa online. Okay? The turmeric is planted by, for the Filipinos, malunggay. Okay? Malunggay. And turmeric, I don't know what you call it in Filipino. Okay? But these are the Burmese Karen refugees. In the newspapers or in our local news, sometimes we read about Aung San Suu Kyi and fighting and so. Okay? The people who plant for us are the ones who gave up fighting and say we want peace. So here we are trying to provide a viable means for them to feed their family. Okay? The ones that we are working with are by and large believers. They also feed the orphans, the widows, they're involved in the peace process. Okay? But where does funding come from? For years in church, we support people 10, 20, 30 years, and money just keeps going out. And the people still remain dependent, waiting for the handout. You don't teach them self-reliance. You don't teach pride in work. You do not teach self-esteem. Because we may say this on Sunday, but what we do just forces them to be reliant on a foreigner. And that's what we wanted to change. And that's the paradigm shift I had. So I thought, why not do a win-win? In Singapore, any of the churches that many of you came from, when you look at your prayer bulletin, how many prayers are for the sick? Big number, right? We're always praying for the sick. And I often wonder, why don't we pray for the well? You know, that God may impact their lives and they may be more effective. And then we often say, why don't more people serve God? But people are sick. So if you're sick, how to serve the Lord? We're encouraging people to serve the Lord, but they're sick. And I realize, if they can get well, they can serve the Lord. But if they choose not to after that, that's a different problem. Okay? But here we're trying to be win-win. The locals need currency. Our people here need good health. The saints, we need to be healthy saints. And if we are not healthy saints serving the Lord because we are sick, we are not good stewards. Yeah? So this, actually the design for our turmeric and moringa was designed by a local Christian business owner. And she said, I want to bless you. Praise the Lord. Okay? So Highlands Green was born because a medical doctor from the UK went to work in the jungle with the refugees, when the army shoots them and they flee, many die. And he in turn got sick, bitten by a tick, Lyme disease. The villagers were producing turmeric to help him control his pain. I saw that because we are neighbors in Chiang Mai, and I said, why are you having all this turmeric here? He said, it's for the doctor's pain. And I told them, plant for me, I'll sell for you. So we sell not just in Southeast Asia, Pastor, we sell all over the world. Okay? Just 2 weeks ago, a Canadian Asian nephrologist took one of our turmeric capsules, and in 4 days, he says, I noticed a difference in my back pain. Okay? So God has created a lot of good plants that are there that help us in our health. Okay? Just now, the verse I read, Acts chapter 10, verse 10, chapter 10, verse 38. And the Lord Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he healed people who were oppressed of the devil. The Lord Jesus did three things: teach, preach, heal. Okay? And when we come, we get healed spiritually, but how about the physical? And how about providing a holistic outlook? Okay? So that's what God has been helping us with. I went to Thailand working primarily with the Thai. I thought the tribals, most of them are Christians. In Chiang Mai, for every 20 people, you will probably bump into one Christian. Okay? If you just go one province south, for every 10,000 people, you may see one Christian. And that's just a 20-minute drive from Chiang Mai. Okay? So when we hear that, the north, that 10% Christian, but the rest of the country, there are 70 provinces, only two have a high percentage of Christians. And a lot of them are the Karen and the other tribal groups. Okay? So God has given me this little vision here, or maybe it's a big one, where we can help the Karen reach out. Okay? As a missionary, I'm also on a work permit, you know. Okay? I renew work permit every year. Okay? So I know exactly what you're going through there. All right? And boy, you know, to waste a lot of time just to line up and go for an interview every year. But that's what the Lord led us through. But because of that, God gave us a love for the Karen people. And boy, they are hardworking. A lot of them are. Okay? We thank God also for the Rawa people. Okay, the Rawa, our current preacher is from the Rawa. And the Rawa were reached primarily by a group called New Tribes Mission. Okay, so I'm in the village with our preacher. He's the one in the black t-shirt. And I was there on a relief trip late last year. And they have the gospel 45 years. But many of them have migrated to the cities to work. It's only the old and the very young in the villages. So what are they doing with the gospel? Oh, it's for themselves. The gospel is for themselves. In fact, the Quran, all right, it's for their people. But beloved, who is the gospel for? Who's the gospel for? Everyone, isn't it? All. And beloved, now that we have the gospel, what do we do with it? When your pastor shares, what do you do with it? How does that impact your life? Okay, so God has actually changed our mission work from English teaching, from university, from church planting. Now, we're trying to help that next generation reach out. I have to renew my visa every year. They can stay there for long term. Isn't that good? And then we can actually release more people into God's work. So, beloved, I know many people go on short-term mission trips. I was talking to a brother who said, oh, I've been to the missionary Robert Pay in the north and so on. It is nice. We go there. But we come back home comfortable. But they are there. They stay there. Who is God going to move next? To forsake what we have. And we still can come home. Don't get me wrong. I've been there 15 years. But we still came home. Okay? Beloved, the gospel that has been entrusted to us, how do we share? Okay? This gentleman is from the Akha tribe. Okay? Most of us have heard of the Akha. Okay? The Akha is a small group from the Akha. One of the subsets of the Akha. And this man here is the son of the shaman, or the witch doctor. Okay? And the witch doctor could even go into a trance and tell you the whole book of creation, you know, Genesis and creation, while in a trance, never having read the Bible before. Okay? But this young man translated the Bible to his group, then he was outsourced, that means they found people cheaper in Burma, and he was a very angry young man. So God has allowed me to help redeem some of these. And this young man graduated MDiv from Bible school, and praise the Lord, he has gone back to serve in his village. The village said, if you come back, all of us will become Christian, 300 people. But in actuality, the children come for Sunday school. The adults are nowhere to be found. But has God written them off? I don't think so. Okay? You may ask, why these people groups? See, God has given me another paradigm shift. I focused on the Thai people. I learned Thai. I read Thai. I can write and type Thai slowly. But suddenly God brought all these people groups. And I realized, whoever is hot, strike. All right? So I told your pastor, you know, at one point, I wanted to have our church in one of the shopping centers in Chiang Mai. I said, oh, this is great. You know, why not have the mission right at the gates of hell? Okay, I'm not saying Lucky Plaza is hell, okay? But the point being is, this is where everybody is, okay? That makes sense. You're there where the people are, okay? And better still, help them to reach their own people, okay? Now, how do we involve the people in business? Actually, this is a team from my church, and they went to help build a greenhouse to dry out turmeric. All right? One day, the wife of the sons of the prophet came to Elisha and exclaimed, my husband, your servant, is dead. And you know he loved the Lord. And now the creditors are coming and they're going to take my two sons away as slaves. And Elisha said, how can I help? What do you have? I have nothing except a little jar of oil. Elisha said, go. Borrow as many vessels as you can. Go in, shut the door behind you, and pour. And she was pouring. And when she reached for another vessel, there was none left. And the oil stopped flowing. The woman went to see the man of God and told him. Elisha said, go, sell the oil, pay off your debts, live on the rest. We had a conference in Chiang Mai, and a speaker, Tom Love, he was the advisor to Afghanistan for US aid. And he asked two very, very pertinent questions. When you go to a village, don't ask them, what do you need? Because you'll get a whole long list. Yeah? He said, what do you have? How can I help? I actually found these two questions in this passage. That's 2 Kings. It's up there. Okay? Elisha asked those two questions. And those are the same questions I will often ask any new group. How can I help? What do you have? And that's what we are trying to do. I'll give you a very practical example. You know, we tell our children, wash your hands. In fact, last week when I was supposed to come, I had a speaking engagement at 7 o'clock to a Telugu group. And this was the first time in my life, this was my most uncomfortable preaching situation, because I had just had a birthday dinner, but I had food poisoning. Okay? At that time, I didn't know it was food poisoning. Okay? But all I could do during the message was, wow, this is very uncomfortable. All right? But the point simply is this, basic hygiene. Okay? Or maybe when we eat the crab, we didn't wash our hands. Actually, it doesn't happen to me, but, you know. When we tell people to wash, so when we get them to process the turmeric, hygiene is very important. And it was very interesting. Our farmer, we have two grades. We have a pharmaceutical grade and we have food grade. So the food grade, I was going to another supplier, also a Christian. But then he says one day, you know, Ajahn is teacher. He says, we shouldn't get from this guy anymore. I said, why? You know, the turmeric when they use, they don't even wash. They just throw into the grinding machine. Got the mud, got the sand, everything in there. And then come out, it's all the same color, right? Yeah. So I said, you know, last time we don't know all this, but now I know. Thank you for teaching us. So I said, yeah, praise the Lord, you know. They learn hygiene. Yeah. And I didn't have to say, you must do this. They learn it because they are producing. So you kill how many birds with how many, you know, one stone. So praise the Lord. And this guy's machine actually broke down because all the stones got, you know, got smashed up inside. All right, but those are the success stories we want. That's what we want to hear from the people. Then you know there's growth taking place. You know, it's not, you know, oh, 50 people came and 100 people came. Yeah. Just a few months ago, we had another rally in Chiang Mai. And how did they measure? They said we had 1,500 follow-up booklets and all were distributed. Okay, so what does that mean? How many were saved? Nobody knows. Okay, so when we involve them in a business, for example, the youth, right? Can you tell someone's character? You know, you're all in the same group. How do you tell someone's character? Okay, very easy, right? Captain's ball, basket. You play sports together. You will see who's aggressive, who's a passer, who hawks the ball, right? Same. When you put them in an enterprise, you know who's honest, you know who's lazy, you know who cuts corners, you know who will go the extra mile. Beloved, we have, I would just challenge us, do we need to rethink the way we operate in mission sometimes? Okay, this is our product, okay, a win-win situation, our people around the world, high blood, high cholesterol, high sugar, God has his cure already, but we are not getting it. We go to the doctor for curative, okay? Curative reasons, but it's not supposed to be maintenance. We need proper nutrition for maintenance, okay? How can you collaborate or partner? Talk to me later, okay? The verse that I read just now, Acts 10:38, okay? This was last year when we finished our anniversary. We went about distributing enzyme. And it's very heavy stuff, you know, 1 liter bottles, just to the neighborhood so they can do something with their crops, something practical. But the Lord Jesus, he was filled with power, the Holy Spirit. How can God fill you, with the Holy Ghost to achieve, to do something beyond what you are humanly capable of? Missions is not, you know, Singaporeans, we are pretty much task-oriented people. You go to the Philippines, they are the exact opposite, which is relational. Okay? So, mañana is tomorrow. Yeah, mañana. Okay? Do it tomorrow. Okay? So when you bring a Singaporean team to the field, you know, there's a dossier, there's the SOP, standard or procedure, and all right? And we feel that missions is a rally and we met how many people, but missions actually can be having a meal, talking, interacting. That's getting to know people. That's showing interest. Sometimes we are so eager to get our four spiritual laws. I don't know what you use, the gospel bridge, you know. But are we really interested in the person, you know? Maybe the person didn't eat today and they're trying to listen. But do we actually care for the person? Or are we just like the bomber, dropping the payload and then moving on to the next target? The Lord Jesus, He was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And He went about healing people that were oppressed of the devil. And that could be a sickness. That could be nutritional deficiency, cancer. It could be so many factors today. Depression. Yeah. Bible says, you know, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. And I realized on the mission field is, I can't choose my sheep. Actually, they are the ones choosing. If they like what you say, they'll stay. If they don't like, they won't come. So I've actually taken the life verse that says, you know, Acts 10:38. I want to do good. And how is that different from every other religion? But I am doing good as the Lord Jesus did. And the Lord Jesus did three things. He preached, He taught, and He healed. Okay? So as we go around us, okay? In Singapore, it's very easy to carry tracts. And it's not indiscriminate giving, but how about a service rendered and some appreciation? I was just filling up my car a few days ago, and I gave a tract to the uncle, and he says, "Wow, you're very brave, you know, to give this to me." Okay, I think it's quite normal. But imagine if each of us was able to touch someone somehow for the kingdom. In Singapore, you know, sometimes I'm in different chat groups. If you want the notes, you can... Oops. Yeah. If you want the notes, you can scan for it. But basically, technology. I know, I'm on the ball here, okay? Yeah. Those of you who know what this is, you can use it. If you don't know, don't worry about it. Okay? But what can we do for the kingdom? As we go, are we sensitive? Okay? God has placed you in your specific context, your specific family that I cannot reach. You are seeing them 24, or you know, at least half a day. I may meet them for a few minutes. I cannot impact them. Unless they click on this webinar and they hear something, all right? But the point simply is this, God has placed us in each of our spheres of influence. And God has given us that charge. Bible says, you know, can you hide a candle under a bushel? Bible says, let your light so shine. Okay? So I hope what I've shared with you makes sense. I'm a Singaporean, fourth generation Christian. I'm Teochew. Our families came from Swatow in China, and God blessed us. If our family had been there, we would still be under communism and under a different regime. But God saw fit in His sovereignty to give us a life in Singapore in the 1800s. How long have you had the gospel? What are you going to do with it? All right? So, very good. Praise the Lord. I think I'm on time.